Mrs. Farber, really nice to see you.
Thank you.
Evan, very glad you are back again safely. You've been to the East, haven't you, Evan?
Right,
this is really nice. Yes, that's nice. Right. Now, if we could just briefly sum up what we have covered until now. And you remember that we spoke, if this chapter is dealing with Nebuah, is dealing with prophecy, and the Derech Hashem spoke about Ruach HaKodesh, which is a degree lower than prophecy, but we and it's touched, but only very, very briefly, in a word or two, he touched on other experiences of prophecy, and I just want to deal with them. And the one was Nibay Velo Yoda Ma Nibay. When a person prophesies, he doesn't know what he's prophesying. He's not consciously aware of it. And the two examples I gave you were when the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam, was waiting by the riverside for somebody to go and find Moshe Rabbeinu, and Pharaoh's daughter went, and there was this baby of 3 months old, and she goes to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Shouldn't I find a woman amongst the Jewish women to suck the baby?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "A good idea," so she goes and fetches the mother. Brings the mother, and Pharaoh's daughter uses a rather strange expression, Heilichi. And Heilichi really means, take yours, sort of, I'm handing it over to you, take yours. And Chazal say that she prophesied, but she didn't know really what she was prophesying. That she didn't know that this was the mother of the child, and she was saying, this belongs to you. And the other example is when the brothers come before Yosef, he knows who they are, but they don't know who he is, and he accuses them of being spies, because they've come in separately to different gates, and in the throng he is able to point them out and to bring them out and make them stand in front of him. So they realize that he knows there's a connection, and he says, "You're spies, I know you're connected with one another." They say, "No, we are not spies, we are brothers." They say, "You're brothers. What story is it you're telling me? Brothers? Do brothers separate and come in through different gates?" Now they've got to go and tell him a story. They say, "Well, the truth is, we were 12 brothers once, and one disappeared, and so we're looking for him." He said, "You're looking for him in Egypt? Disappeared from it? Looking for him?" Yes, they were still telling the whole story that they sold him. So they are in a tight corner. Eventually, they say to him, "Well, we are brothers. We are 12 brothers," and they say, "Achim anachnu." They add the word kuloni, all of us. So Chazal tells us they include Yosef. They prophesied, but they didn't know what they were prophesying. They prophesied that Yosef is also one of them, and I explained this to you last week, that this is just a sense. We know much more than that of which we are aware. We know much more. The best example I can give you is, and you've heard me speak about this, that I go to a concert, and I come back and I say, "I've heard the most wonderful concert. What a beautiful second movement of Beethoven it was, of this concerto." And I said, "What is the theme?" I said, "You know, I can't remember." So the person begins humming, was this the theme? I say no. Was this the theme? I say no. She said, well, what was it? I said, I don't remember. Was this the theme? No. Was this? This is it. Right. That is it. Yamamonavsha. Did I know the theme or not? If I knew it, then why couldn't I hum it myself? If I didn't know it, then how do I know that that is the theme? How do I remember that that is it if I didn't know it? So the answer is buried in back in my mind. There is this and I know it, but I'm not aware of it. I can't recall it and I'm not aware of it. But something might just strike and then it comes out. And so there are things of which we are aware and we are not aware of it. It's only deep, deep down within us we are aware of it. But really on the surface we are not aware of it. And this of course is very important, because there are certain things that make an impression on us, and they are made to make an impression on us. On the surface you're not even aware that it's making an impression on us, but deep, deep down it makes an impression on us. So those are things that are for good, they are things that are for evil, and we've got to be very careful not to see those things which make a bad impression on us. But the idea of prophesying and not knowing what one prophesies is that deep down within us there is more knowledge than there is in the surface. And that applies to every person. Is that clear? The next one that we said is, people call it a Ruach HaKodesh, but it's not. But it is a Hashpoah Nisteris. The Sefirah Hashem calls it a Hashpoah Nisteris. That is, there is a hidden influence that comes from outside, a hidden influence. And one finds it sometimes when one is working very hard at something, and one works, and suddenly there's just sees it and it comes, and now I've got it, and that is the hidden influence. Sometimes it comes after the time of one has done a lot of work, and then hasn't produced anything, and one just sits back and one forgets about it, doesn't do anything at all, engages in something quite different, and suddenly it projects itself forward and it's there. The happy idea is born. And so that is a Hashpoah Nisteris, that is an influence that comes from outside, and it influences the man. It comes and it goes. It doesn't stay. After that, there is something which belongs to a different category, but it is something one must be aware of. And that is, B'derech Odom Rotze Lo Leilech Lo Lichi Leilech. That Hashem leads a person along the way that he has chosen to go. He wants to do something, wants to go somewhere, Hashem leads him along that way. What happens if the person wants to do bad, wants to do evil, wants to go somewhere where he shouldn't go? Hashem helps him also. He's helped to go along the way that he has chosen to go. And the reason for that is because that all belongs to the Bechira. That all belongs to predetermination of will. That if I want to go somewhere, then not only is nothing put in my way, but I'm helped along, which gives me absolute predetermination of will. Because if I'm not helped along, perhaps I won't do it. And there's a flaw in the predetermination of will. And finally, in this category, there is what we call Siyata Dishmaya. And Siyata Dishmaya means divine assistance. There's a difference between this and the former one. There's a difference between divine assistance and the Derech Odom Rotze Leilech Molichi Leilech. God leads the man along the way he wants to go. In the case of God leads the man along the way he wants to go, if he wants to go a wrong way and he's chosen it and he's walking, he gets help to go that way. Siyata Dishmaya is only for good. If a person wants to do the right thing, and then there is Siyata Dishmaya. that is only for good, it's never for evil. And so you can get a conflict between Derech Sheodem Relzel or Leches Malikin herself and Siyata Dishmayo. Let us say a man decides to make a wrong move. So according to the principle of the Derech Sheodem Relzel or Leches Malikin herself, he should be helped to go along that way. He should be led along that way. But he's got Siyata Dishmayo, so Hashem will put an obstacle in the way. That is Siyat Rishmayo coming into conflict with the Derech or the Vesel or Lechis Rishmayo. So there can be interference. Good person, but he's taking a wrong turn, and God does everything he can to prevent him. So there can be a Siyat Rishmayo that is in conflict with the Derech or the Vesel or Lechis Rishmayo. Now, all those, I have put those all together under one category, because the common factor that they have is that all this belongs to our world. One doesn't have to have Ruach HaKodesh for this. This belongs to our world, to the world of ordinary human beings. They have got good points, they've got frailties, they try to do the right thing, they don't always succeed. If they fail and they do something wrong, there is humor, there is repentance, try to get it right again. It's our world. All that comes to, all that affects us. Yes, Sima?
So, where does the
Sayon
come in? Why would it be so difficult to make the right decisions? Why would
a Sayon
test people?
The test comes in everything. In every move there is a test. I just want to explain to you how it comes in. You want to come to a shir to learn. You can be quite sure that there will be an obstacle. If there isn't an obstacle, if there isn't an obstacle, then there's something wrong somewhere. You see, then you must be very worried. But there's always an obstacle. That's your niso-yo. If you, now you've got to make up your mind. Now comes the Bechiro. I'm going to go in spite of the obstacle. Then you get Bederech Sheodem Relzel or Lechis Malikin Herzel. Then you get assistance to go that particular way. So the Nisoyon is always there. When you are deciding, when you are exercising your free determination of will, that is the moment of Nisoyon. Yes, listen.
In the case of somebody who really has a normal and really truly believes, Hashem, when they wish or will something, will generally, I shouldn't say grant it, but basically help them along the way. Now, a person who has a Emuna and faith in Hashem, and who, basic belief in him, they wouldn't turn anywhere. So Hashem would be good
to them. That doesn't exist.
That
doesn't. There's no such thing that a man is perfect. That's a verse in Ephesians. Ein orim tzadik bo'orif asher yaseh tzad lo yaseh. There's no righteous man upon earth that does only good and doesn't sin. Hashem has created us in such a way that perfection is impossible here upon earth. We strive towards perfection. We get as much as perfection as we possibly can, but that there is perfection in the human being, that is something that doesn't exist. So even in Emunah, but let me give you an illustration of it. Avraham Avinu, just look at the Emunah he has. So Hashem says, take your son, your only son, and offer him up to me. He starts working out. Take your son. He's got Ruach HaKodesh at least. He's got the word. He knows what's coming. Says he said, oh, that's Ishmael. Hashem says to him, Hashem says to him, take your son. He said, well, I've got so many disciples, they're all my children. One of the disciples. Hashem says, no, your only son. he said that Ishmael is my only son. He's the only son I've got with Rogoz, so he's my only son. I should have said Yitzchok. Yitzchok. He's afraid perhaps he'll give Ishmael another name, Yitzchok also, who you love. Now, so there's no chance. So now he knows he can't do anything anymore. He is Yitzchok. So he starts his journey. He starts his journey, and on the way, immediately, there is a raging sun, there's a river. He's got a wonderful reason to go back. Wonderful reason to go back. This is his Messiah. So what does he do? He says, no. He goes right into the water and discovers it's a mirage. He goes further. There's a forest fire. Oh, it's raging forest fire. Says something wrong here. He goes into the fire. There's no fire. He goes still further, and now the Satan appears to him and says, Avraham, don't think that you are going to sacrifice your son. I know that there is a lamb already prepared for the real sacrifice. So he takes away from him all the Shemayim that he's doing. Takes it away from him. So Avraham says, you fooled me twice. Don't believe you, you're fooling me again. I don't believe that it's true. So Avraham overcomes it all. But there are trials, tribulations all along the way. And that is in every one of us. And the Sefer Shishurim says that at every turn and at every step, a person is faced with a Nisoyer. He's faced with a challenge. At every turn and at every step. And he's got a breakthrough. Right? Now, all those things, that belongs to us, that is in our area. Now we come into the other area. The next area is Ruach HaKodesh. And that is, there is influence, divine influence, coming from outside. And the Derech Hashem explained it, and this is an enlightenment that is bestowed on a person from outside, and a person who's got Ruach HaKodesh sees things very clearly and knows things that nobody else knows, that we ordinary people don't know. Follow? So I gave you examples of Ruach HaKodesh. I gave you an example with my uncle, the Rebbe Yidrocher. He gave the deathbed to the Chofetz Chaim in 1933. And in 1933, he said, we must know that now that the Chofetz Chaim is not here anymore, he's not there to pray for us. And he is not here to pray for us. The most terrible things are about to happen to the Jewish people. This was in 1933. And he said, it's the duty of every Jew to learn the laws of Kiddush Hashem, that is how to die, that you are being slaughtered for no other reason that you're a Jew. And there are laws in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Yerodea, how one takes that and how one behaves. And I'll never forget one of the young men who was my companion in Kells when we were learning. His father was the head of the Rabotki Yeshiva. And we were learning, and we came along this passage in our studies, in our Gemara, we came along this passage to die for Kiddush Hashem, and how one dies. And he said to me, he said, my father said to me that should I be put into that position, that I've got to die for Kiddush Hashem, I would put on my Shabbos best clothing. And he had a gold chain and watch, which he received as a wedding present from his father-in-law. He said, and I take my gold chain and watch and I put it on, and that is the way I would go to my head. That is the way he did go to his head. He was killed in the Slavotka ghetto. His son, he learned together with me, was killed on the 20th of Tammuz in Kel. But the father was killed, and that is the way he went his death. There's a count that is written. That is exactly the way he went his death. But I, as I told you, my uncle predicted that. And in 1940, when I was I came over to London on my way to South Africa, and I was staying with my uncle, and I had a yeshiva security that didn't belong to me, that belonged to the yeshiva. And I intended going back still for a month and then bring it back to the yeshiva security. But I had it with it. So I said to my uncle, what must I do with this yeshiva security? How can I get it back to them? And my uncle said, you are the Yoresh. You are the inheritor. Nobody better to inherit it than you. It belongs to you. And it didn't strike me at the time with all its force, but he knew that that is the yeshiva thing won't exist anymore. You can have that, belongs to you, absolutely in order. So you actually had, so this is my experience of it. Then Rector Neil, this is, I also heard from him, where he said that the Russian Jews will be taken out. But I don't believe that was Ruach HaKodesh. That was just a clear understanding of it all. And it can't be that Hashem will just allow the Russian Jews to disappear from off the earth. They will certainly be taken out from there. It was a sin of Western Europe and America that they didn't do anything to get them out. Then God will have his own way of getting them out. So we're blessed to see it happen. That's how it happens. So the Ruach HaKodesh is something that doesn't belong to us, but it exists. And now we are doing Nebuah. But when it came to what is in our sphere, I spoke to you about Siyata Ishmael, that we pray for divine guidance and we pray for divine help, that God helps us. And this is that prayer that we say every Shabbos in Shul, and that Sima wanted to know more about it. So just let me get my wife's prayer book, because the English translation there is not only good, but it's an elegant translation. And from prayer for prayer, one needs elegance. So just let me get it, and I'll read to you those passages. Prayer that is read after the Maftir, before the Sefer Torah is referred to the Ark. And I'm reading to the English translation. May salvation from heaven, with grace, loving kindness, mercy, long life, ample sustenance, siyata dishmayo, heavenly aid, health of body, a higher enlightenment, and a living and abiding offspring that will not break with nor neglect any of the words of the Torah, be granted unto the teachers and unto the rabbis of the holy community who are in the land of Israel and in the land of Babylon and in all the lands of our dispersion. So this is a prayer for the spiritual heads of all communities, within Israel, in Babylon, or anywhere in the world, to the heads of academies, the Rosh Yeshivas, the chiefs of the captivities, the heads of the colleges, and the judges in the cities, and to all their disciples, all those who study the Torah, and to all the disciples of their disciples, and unto all who occupy themselves with the study of the Torah. This is what we pray that they have. And amongst the things we pray for is that they be given Siyata Dishmael, divine aid. Alright? And you know, you'll find in the top of letterhead, they, some of the others, that is to Yaakov Yisrael with the help of heaven. That is the way it's written. I prefer writing the Ezer Hashem. I beg your pardon? The Ezer Hashem or the Ezra Hashem. I prefer writing it that way, but I've got to be very careful. They think I'm Apicolus if I write it that way. It's nonsense. The Meister Feinstein started each, every one of his students with Ezer Hashem. He didn't put Siyata Yishmael. This is a new business that it has to be Siyata Yishmael. But it doesn't harm anyone to put Siyata Yishmael. So put Siyata Yishmael. Who cares this? All right. And that's the way it works. And now, we are ready to begin the next chapter. The only thing is, do the next chapter. I've got to have a memory of right. All right. Now, just let us, next chapter now is Nebuah. He's touched on Ruach HaKodesh, and don't forget, Ruach HaKodesh is outside of our sphere of activity and practicality. But now he's going a step beyond Ruach HaKodesh, and that is Nebuah. And Nebuah doesn't exist anymore. The last prophet was Malachi, and after that we didn't have a prophet anymore. So the last prophet were the prophets that lived when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So there was Yirmiyahu HaNovi, there was Yechezkel, there was Malachi, there may have been another, Zechariah was there. Yes, Abby?
Does that mean that when the ones that lived idolatry was very strong, am I just reading the story, or to eliminate idolatry, that was the negative aspect, and then lost the positive aspect?
No.
No. Remember that idolatry was tested, that we don't know, have any concept about fasting
and that is true, that after the destruction of the first base of Ikdosh, there wasn't any longer this passionate desire for idolatry. It didn't exist. That they prayed that it should exist. But after that, there wasn't any prophecy anymore. The prophets that were alive, they continued, but only until they died. And that was Yirmiyahu, Malachi, Zechariahu, Ezekiel. Those were the four prophets that definitely lived at that particular time. That is the destruction of the first base of Israel. Afterwards, there was no prophet. There was Ruach HaKodesh. Still today, there's Ruach HaKodesh, but there's no longer any prophecy. So prophecy, that is a very high degree. And now, just let us get a little bit of the idea of prophecy. The Omnum Lamaila Mikol Zeyesh Maila Achiris. He says, over and above all this, there is another degree. The Yiha Nebua, that is prophecy. The Inyonashi Yagiyo Oda Vizkashi Bevoris Borah Shemobi Zabek Vodah Bekrit Mamish. He says, what is now, he defines the Bua, he defines prophecy. It is to, that man is able to connect himself with the Creator and to cleave to him with an actual cleaving. That is, he comes so close to Hashem that he's actually able to attach himself to Hashem. Now, this is, of course, figurative, because Hashem has got no, there's nothing material, there's nothing, no corporeality about Hashem whatsoever, so it's only figuratively we say that he attaches himself. But the attachment is a very real attachment, as I've explained to you, that the abstract is more real than the concrete. The spiritual is much more, it's more real than the bodily. The soul is more real than the body. And so the soul of man, which is invisible, has no body, that attaches itself to Hashem. It's the closest that one can possibly come to Hashem. I'll still go into a bit of detail about it. But open to Yavjisha is Dabkus, the Yavjik Mashu Mizabekbo. But it is in such a way that a person feels his attachment, and he is able to grasp it, that he has reached the stage, he's aware of it, that he's reached the stage that he's attached to Hashem. Dehainu kavodo is borach shemo. He is attached to the glory of Hashem, part of the glory of Hashem. Al haderech shenavoyeh leponim, we shall still have occasion to explain it further on. And that which he perceives is there in all its clarity, and he feels it, that there is no doubt whatsoever in his mind. It is so clear. In the same way that he has no doubt about something that is material, which he sees with his senses. He has no doubt that it exists. For example, a lump of sugar. He sees it with his eyes, he feels it with his hand, it's rough, it's square or oblong, feels it with his hand, tastes it with his tongue. It hasn't got smell, and it hasn't got, he can't hear it. But it's got those three qualities. He's got no doubt that it is there. So with Nebuah, so what he perceives is as clear as all that. Let's go on a little bit further. Now the main consideration in prophecy is the acquisition of this attachment to Hashem. Odo b'chai, whilst the person is still alive. Now that is the very difficult thing, because whilst the person is alive, he is a body, and to attach himself to Hashem, that is purely spirit. So this is the great thing, that it is possible for him to attach himself to Hashem whilst he is still alive. Says Shleimus Godel Vadi, this is a great degree of perfection. It's not ultimate perfection, but it is a degree of perfection, and the person is able to do it, that his soul attaches itself to the Almighty. The Urum is lovely as a Yadir Saskolas. He says when he attaches himself to the Almighty, accompanying this attachment is information and certain points of wisdom. Through this attachment, he acquires an understanding of matters that are reality and very, very high. They belong to the secrets of the secrets, the mysteries of the mysteries of Hashem. By Yafi Gain Bevero, and he is able to acquire this in clarity. Through this intellectual endowment that is bestowed upon him, and it is greater than Ruach HaKodesh, as we shall still explain, Bishyatid Ishmael uses the expression with the help of him. Now, let us take it to there. Let us just take it to there. And I want to try and explain to you that this does not belong to our world. Ruach HaKodesh to even a greater degree the Ruach is beyond our world. Ruach HaKodesh, we can still find people who've got Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach hasn't been in existence for well over 2,000 years. The Kuzari says that a person who saw a novi, it was such an experience that we cannot even imagine a person who has seen a novi, who has seen a prophet. We can't even imagine that. That is beyond our care. Just a person who sees his faith, it's changing to such an extent that we can't even imagine. Now, I'm going to do an experiment with you. And what I want you to do is, I will mention a word, and you must immediately tell me the first word that comes into mind, into your mind, immediately after I speak. I'll give you a very easy one to start off with. We started this part of the day. Barbara, book.
Paper.
Oh, here.
Torah.
Mitzvah. This is Barbara's father, Mitzvah. Abby. All right, so it's enough. Very good. Anything. You see, anything that goes. Sophia, table.
Chair.
Sit. Stand. Table, sit, chair, stand. Now, let's go a little bit further. Avi, one. Two. 32. You and three. Very good. So this is the way we think. Give you one more. Ocean. Jimmy. Sky. Anybody?
Sure.
Now, just look the way we work. We see the ocean, and it is blue. Where does it get its blue from? It's blue of the sky. Sky, we think of ocean. We wear tzitzis. Originally, they had a cord of blue. Person looks at the tzitzis, thinks of that tzitzis comes from the chilozo. The chilozon is a fish. The fish comes from the sea. The sea is blue, the sky is blue, and one thinks of a ship. One, Rebbeinu Shleiman is one. Two, Shnei Luchos Savit, the two tablets of stone. Three, Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov. Four, Sora, Rivka, Rochel, Leah. Five, Kadosh Yekumish Torah, the five books of the Torah. That is the way as you think. Now, we don't think like that. We don't fall into this category at all. But a real Torah Jew, if you say one, he thinks only of the Rebbeinu Shleiman. If you say ten, he thinks only of Aseret HaDibros. The Ten Commandments, there can't be anything else. That is the association of ideas. Now, that is why I'm saying that when it comes to Ruach HaKodesh and when it comes to the Ruach, it is outside of our sphere. We don't think that way at all. But it is wonderful that we can at least discuss it and we can try and understand it and see it from the distance. We don't come close to it, but at least we can see it from the distance. And if one understands it well, then the safer becomes a binocular and it brings it closer, but it's still at a distance. Now, if there are any questions you all want to ask me on that.
In the beginning, when the Rav talked about the two goodnesses that are saying that are standing here, one is divine supremacy and one is the way Hashem reaches.
Yes.
What is the difference in two goodnesses?
I gave you the difference. In the Gerech Shehorim Reisin Oleches Madichim, as though, if a person chooses the wrong way, Hashem helps him also.
I understand.
Siyata Dishmaya is only the good way. No Siyata Dishmaya for the wrong way.
But is there a difference in the good that Hashem would keep a person from doing that?
in Siyata Dishmayo. If a person wants to get it the wrong way, if a person deserves it, he gets Siyata Dishmayo.
Deserving it.
Deserving it, and he must deserve it. Otherwise, he doesn't get it. Otherwise, he doesn't come into play. Yes, Hannah?
So,
Siyata Dishmayo
is something that we own.
Is that the same as Ruach HaKodesh? Yeah, Ruach HaKodesh is just beyond that. Ruach HaKodesh, of course, is earned. It's earned by the piety of the person. That is earned. But it's very, of course, it's very difficult to get to see. We've got a law in the tail. We've got a law in the tail. But what Haftar is a shimon of Tehu, you shall love the Lord your God, that is love. There is a deed of your race of Hashem Yekeh, you shall fear the Lord your God. So there is love and there is fear of Hashem. After that, there is lo leshev bidrocho, to walk in the ways of God. That is a law in the Torah. And that still applies to each one of us. Now the Torah, if there's a law in the Torah, it applies to us. We don't have to be in the category of Ruach HaKodesh to carry out any laws of the Torah. So there is a law in the Torah to walk in God's way. How do we know what God's ways are? We've got the Shloshim Tzvi'im, Hashem, Hashem, Teyu, Rachum, Rechamim, Erech Apai, Ve'af Kesef, Ve'emes. We know these are the, we know 13 attributes which we have been told are attributes which Hashem has. We are commanded to emulate those attributes. You follow? For example, what is Erech Apai? Yes, patience. Erech Apai really means not to get angry. So we've got to emulate that. But don't forget what not to get angry means. Not to get angry means no revenge. Not even a grudge. No revenge, no grudge. Not even any resentment. Are we coming nearer to it? Erech Apai. Not even any annoyance. Not even any irritability. Don't be irritable with, don't be annoyed with your husband. Don't be irritable with your children. That is Erech Apai. It says we must walk in God's ways. That is as expected from us. That's all. Lo lechev bidrocho, v'olakto bidrocho, we shall walk in God's ways. That is it. And say with all of them. Say with all the 13 attributes. But that is what is required of us. I'm just taking one as an example. Erech Apai. You got the idea? So those are qualities that we must have. So that is lo leches bidrochov, to walk in God's way. After that comes vapors, cleaving to Hashem. Now he speaks here of cleaving to Hashem. But that is already that brings to prophecy. It's not for us. And yet it says in the Torah, Uledov Kovel, and to cleave to Hashem. That is what is expected of us. So the Gemara tells us how we cleave to Hashem. So how can we acquire that, cleaving to Hashem? Now, it's a very strange Gemara. It's not so strange, but it shows how the Gemara. It says, for example, V'yatim ha'adveitim ba'adinoi elohechem chayim t'lechem ha'yel. You who cleave to Hashem your God, are all of you alive this day. Cleave to Hashem your God. So the Gemara asks the following question. V'chi efshel l'hidovek b'shchino, is it possible for a human being to attach himself to Hashem's presence? It says the whole Kassid, it says in the Torah, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Eich Lohim, that Hashem, your God, is a devouring fire. We can't come even near to God. So how can it say we've got to attach ourselves to God? We've got to cleave to God. Elo, as the Gemara says. What does it mean, cleaving to God? And I'm going to ask you to give there three ways. And I'm going to ask you, and it's not one of these three ways, it's all these three ways at the same time. And I'm going to ask you to give me the common factor. Elakol ha-meisi es bita le-talmid chokham. If a person marries off his daughter to a talmid chokham, he is fulfilling, and you should cleave to Hashem. Ha-meisi pragmatio le-talmid chokham. A person who does business with a talmid chokham, or puts business in the way of a talmid chokham. Honest business. Does honest business with a Talmid Chacham, or puts business in the way of a Talmid Chacham, gives him a chance in business. And the third one is that he lets the Talmid Chacham have benefit from his own position. What is the common factor in all three? The Talmid Chacham, right. The Talmid Chacham. But you're speaking about closeness to God, not closeness to the Talmud Chacham. That is the preparation. That is how one does it. That is the practice to it. That is practice that as you come near to the Talmud. You don't say that. He was only told that it happened to me this much story. And he came and he knows story. This was early 1950s. That was 17 years ago. That is a religious illness. That a deterioration. That a degeneration in human beings. In those days, they heard the Jewish community heard that the very bill was coming. They went down to the docks, and there they met him, and there they brought him into the city. Tens of thousands of Jews, tens of thousands. Again, the Gordon used to have in those days, only 70 years ago. I don't remember who that was. I think it would be the man by the name of Walker. Mm-hmm. And he was giving the freedom of the city, or the keys to the city of New York, something like that. And the man had been stuck with him on the mayor of New York State. And he jumped up on his feet. What a remarkable thing to see. He said, now he couldn't speak, he couldn't converse to the people of there, they had no common language. He looked at him and he said, I have seen this man. I can no longer believe in darkness. Only God could have created a man like this. For the greatest of them. That was it. That was enough for him. I told you what the Kuzari says, that in the days of the Redeemer, a person so amazing, is a changed person, like a person sees a person like the Kuzari, they live good in the different societies. It's something that you welcome with your other space. The individual world has a few memories and a new situation. And the new study takes them, and she had been trapped. And there was a bee that came from in the Johannesburg city there. He was seeking over 2,000 people only by invitation. So, the television runs the east, both of the television has got an invitation, and the blood has got an invitation, and so they brought the television on, and he had a strong seat to be set out of the camp. They went up on the podium, the stage, all the dignitaries, and the presidents, plus the principal of the university, and the man called Harry Lake, the great. He had distinguished himself in the First World War, very fine administrator, very fine scholar. He was in the chair, and become entity, and before it begins, goes off the stage, goes up to the television room, and begs it to kind of put on the podium, and he wants it to address the audience. And the name you say, Mr. Meg, the rabbi can't speak English. He says, it doesn't matter. I want this, the symbol, just to see this man. Because something quite special. You realize what it would do to your symbol, just to see it. I would call it, just to see it, what it would do to you. To tell that God doesn't exist anymore. There's a bloke there, walk down Fifth Avenue. What the other is to be yourself? Park Avenue. There's a couple of them. They're there, they walk down Park Avenue. Let them even say they do the things they can have with them. They're there with messages. That's that. And it's only 70 years ago. That's all. That is a way of coming close to Hashem through the coming of that is what he tells us. Yes?
Well, what is the purpose of the Zerah? The man I grew up in a deep and very difficult childhood. A man who was in no way enviable. Now, why do we have it? Why do we lose him? What's the big purpose of
it? What is the purpose of having it? What is the big purpose of it? Hashem was so close to us. We had many examples of that. There was no fear that after war they didn't lose a single person. Yet one person was left, unless they did something wrong. And then with our son, as the fear of Jericho, 36 people were lost in the battle. So it was the end of the world. I couldn't understand what has happened. Until I saw my three children, this is what I'm saying. Some one person did wrong. And otherwise, just look on the level on which they were. The being has the way to put them on that level and to rise them to another higher level. That was the truth compared to something that he knew. And furthermore, these little beings, through their own piety and intellectuality, reach a stage where they could come so close to our head. And even then it was a gift. We lost it. We won't be living on it anymore. If I uncle goes to lift it to the hottest time, he's good. Don't say that he was a paid man and he had to go. We can't learn to have him. But we don't deserve it anymore. So that is, we've lost the world. We first of all, we got out of that standard. We couldn't even receive them as well. I mean, imagine today, even a poor Abijah Rabin is last year, and didn't know who he was. It is only a sugar that didn't know who he was. To recognize greatness and not by the certain other greatness oneself. Recognize it. And that is, this is the Rebbe Patola, this is the degeneracy that is getting. Now, the next part of it, I just want to give you an idea. The next part of it, we just say that the reveal always starts with an angel. And if I could give you the example, we've got a couple of examples, just to give you one example that is in the program. The most thing I've done is introduction to the Nebuah. Do you remember what it was? The very wish. So it is something quite material. And he will see the very wish, and he sees something strange about it. But that is his introduction to it. So there he is led into the Nebuah by the very wish. cannot clearly recover, he is led into the nidhiya by the voice that calls him. He doesn't know who the voice, doesn't know what it is. He thinks it's the Torah, Eli, Eli, Cain that is calling him. He doesn't realize that it is something that is material, and that is from where it starts. So there we've got two examples of how the nidhiya starts, but it starts with an intermediary. How far it goes depends on the prophet. Each prophet has his own level. The closest of all prophets was the Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came closest to Hashem. He was able to speak mouth to mouth to Hashem. Somebody want to ask this question? Enlightenment, we spoke about two kinds of enlightenment. Three kinds of enlightenment. One kind of enlightenment is a scoring spirit, it's a hidden influence. It is like a Hishmaya that comes so suddenly. There can be enlightenment which we will get just by our own endeavors. If we work hard to understand something and we study it carefully, we come to enlightenment, we are enlightened. Outside influence. It's an influence that comes quite from outside. The human being on his own would never be able to achieve it.
So,
What do you mean by shaped about the people? That there were prophets who prophesied, didn't prophesy at all, or prophesied only for a particular event. So their prophecy wasn't recorded. The prophecy was recorded for all time. And of course, one of the miracles, and we realize today how many miracles there are, one of the miracles is that this has been in existence for 3,000 years, the Torah, for over 3,000 years, and it's the same Torah. We haven't lost it. And all the books of the Torah we haven't lost. We've got 3, 4 books of the Torah haven't been lost. There are certain histories that are mentioned in the Tanakh. Those we have lost. But the essential, the prophecy, those we have, after all these years, they haven't been lost.
Only those prophets who prophesy,
and their prophecy remains relevant for all generations, those are the prophets. We read in this Shabbos, we read the first chapter of Yeshayahu, talking to us. Because he's talking to us. Next week there won't be any shiur, so there will be a shiur in 2 weeks' time. I think it would be a good idea to give you a night off. So it's after Tisha B'Av, make good use of it. We meet again in 2 weeks' time.
I thought about the second thing.
I apologize, I don't mean to say that. This year is easier, and we are hoping that this is a symbol for the future, and that is the teachable of faith on Shabbos. Since we call the teachable on Shabbos, it is a mitzvah, it is a postponed teachable, and it's being observed on Sunday. Right? So all of teachable now is what is normally what is teachable, is the ninth of our Shabbos. But on Shabbos, they are all together to ignore the teachable. Yeah, the first thing that I discuss is on teachable that is not allowed to learn. Only certain things. Because learning is a lot of pleasure in learning. What happens on Shabbos? It is very teachable, it's very teachable, all we are allowed to learn. Now, there are three views on this matter. And I'm giving you this only as an exercise and an explanation. Normally, I would just tell you what my view is, and that is all. I'm going to give you three views on it, just to show you that there are different authorities who give different decisions. Each decision is wrong. My duty is to make a decision for my community. The one decision is that on this Shabbos, the only subject we are allowed to study is Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, Enoch, the Book of Job, certain parts of Noah, Kotel, Tetzel, and the Talmud, and a page or two in Egypt, in another subject of the Talmud. That is one authority. That's all what is allowed to study. You're not allowed to study Yerach Hashem, you're not allowed to study the Siddur
Hashem.
You're not allowed to study the Siddur Hashem. That's all you're allowed to study. The other view is that on Erev Tisha B'Av, you are allowed to study any portion of the Torah. Of the Torah, any portion of the Torah, you study any portion. But not the Erech Hashem, not the Siddur Hashem. The third thing is that on every Shabbos you can study any Torah at all. On this Shabbos here, I'm sorry, not the Erech Shabbos, this Shabbos, you can study any Torah at all. You can do the Erech Hashem, you can do the Siddur Hashem, you can do the schedule of the week, you can start the beginning of the schedule for next week, you can either be able to close up last week's schedule, you can do last week's schedule, you can do any learning at all. Now, I have taken the view of the third one, that you can do any this, it's Shabbat, and since, as we will soon see, one can eat meat on the Shabbat, one can eat wine on the Shabbat, that can live anything on Shabbos. That's the third view. That is the view I take. Why do I take this view? What did you suggest? What would be the reason for it? But the other, I've got to take into consideration that the other authority says, why do I take this authority? Yes?
You need to study so long that you need to study so much more.
I've got to take the circumstances into consideration. I tell you that you can only study Lamentations in Job. I know exactly what will happen. You start with Lamentations in Job. And I don't understand this. You start Job. And you get down the first chapter and you say, who can possibly understand this? So you put it away. What's the next thing you're going to do? You're going to take a novel and read it. You're not going to tell me that it's not going to happen. I know what you're going to do. So I've got, when I'm dealing with you, I have to know with whom I'm dealing. But you have got to take all circumstances into consideration. That taking those circumstances, I can't go against the deal. I just want to give you an example of the way I deal with him. Now, you can do any study of Taylor on any system. You should be able to search as a different school. Musical annotations, you've got all the prayers that you say teachable of, you can go through all that, you can go through the pillars, these heaps to keep you occupied on teachable. Now, on teachable, that's on teachable itself, that is the deal there. And the laws of teachable heaps to keep you occupied. Now, the question of what happens on Saturday night? No hot dollar. That is one broker we have to make. And that is the broker, one broker is to make the hot dollar, and that is the broker over light and over fire. Bailey, no labor eight. That is, you said it's Chamber Marcus. It's not just that Bailey, no labor eight, or if I do a shimmer and take a for a long, Bailey, no labor eight. The best time to say it is before April. And there should be a candle in sheen, and the thing is to say to come to candle, if not for you to come to electric lights. With a woman, there is one other woman, the very also. Mr. Epstein very kindly arranged Miley with such a day. We are starting Miley on Saturday night at 9:30. So that gives us time to go to shoe after it's out of shop. Again, you've got to make another type of abdullah, and that is Baruch HaMavdil and Kodesh HaKodesh. Blessed be he who makes the distinction between holy and profane. In order to go a little bit further, The main thing is to say, HaMavdil and Kodesh HaKodesh, the blessed God who makes the distinction, and then you can travel to Shul by car, and you change your shoes before you go to Shul. That's the best way to do. You change your shoes before you go to Shul, so that when you come to Shul after Shabbos, and you change your shoes, and you can travel to Shul. And we start to serve at that point now. That's all Saturday night is concerned. Now, I'll come to Adela on Sunday night, I'll come to that later. But that is Greek, yes?
We don't have the meal
at the end of the month. Yes, I think I deal with that. No meal with the egg, no sitting on the floor. You have an ordinary solid student. You can have it with meat, you can have it with wine, and everything, the bread or anything else. The beans, no egg, no sitting on the floor, or anything like that. A very easy heritage book. Yes,
Hannah?
What time is it? You should finish eating before sunset. Got a time on sunset, and it's just to be a box to do up. Finish before sunset.
What time is it?
Minka is going to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's no seal in Shabbos after tea. You'll finish gardening, you'll go home and we have a meal, and we're going to go to be back to Minka, we can go back to Minka, and we'll have Minka 2 o'clock. And then come back again, and then in Shabbos, the dance will be fine. Is that clear? And we've got this whole really suit on our circus. I'll come to you have gone on Sunday night a little bit later. So I'm going to greet people on Shabbos is not on Tishabov, not on Sunday, not on Saturday night, and not on Sunday. But please, somebody comes up to you in the evening, that is so rude. There is no excuse for rudeness. Much better to answer the person than to be rude. Rude is a lack of derech eretz. Derech eretz is more important than Torah. It has to come before Torah. Please don't do that. Just make some recognition in reply and very quietly, so that the person can see that there's something wrong with it. Is that all right? On Sunday night, the Abdullah consists only of directly agape, the blessing of the divine, and then the blessing on the Allah. The Ruch HaKadosh is the Tehmi Lekhar Allah, but not with the Tehmi Lekhar Allah, the Tehmi Lekhar Allah. Only those three blessings, nothing else. That is on Sunday night. Now, what again? You can make blessing only one. You want to make it over beer, make it over beer. You can make it over wine. It is a custom that if you make it over wine, you give it to your child to drink, because on Sunday night you are still not allowed to eat meat or to drink wine, because it's the day of Tisha B'Av. Sunday night you are not allowed to eat meat, you are not allowed to drink wine. After the wine, the person who makes up the wine can drink the wine. Some places they give it to a child. The reason they give it to a child is because before the boy is 12, the first year of the girl is 12, he hasn't got the law of mitzvah. So some people give it to a child. There's the law of you've got to educate a child, or they give it to a little child who doesn't know who he drinks it. I am opposed to that. I had the same views about yesterday as the few days ago. I'm opposed to that. Don't ask anybody else to do something that you are not prepared to do yourself. It's very bad. The only exception to that is a goy. Not everything. There are certain things you can ask a goy to do for yourself. Not everything. Things that if they enable you to do a mitzvah, you can ask a goy to do for you to enable you to do the mitzvah. Not everything. But with a Jew, don't ask anybody else to do something that you are not prepared to do yourself. Don't ask the child to do it, if you're not, you've got to carry something to through the tongue tree, you don't want to carry yourself, don't ask the child to do it. That is a dream that you can reject. Make Kiddush, make Abdullah on one, then drink the wine yourself. Perfectly normal. Now, the law is normally going to say if Tisha B'Av would have been on a Tuesday, they could say that on Tuesday night we wouldn't be, we'd have to observe that we could eat, not meat, not with wine, we wouldn't be allowed to shave and to do all this until midday on Wednesday. But since this is a pastel day, there are different things. Wine and meat, not until the morning. But in the night we can shave, we can wash, we can do our laundry, and we can do our dishwasher. We have all the dishes from Shabbos still. So on the dishwasher, on Sunday night, you can put the dishwasher on, it is not that everything knows, it doesn't matter, it is, and for that purpose, it is afternoon. I think that is all that I really expecting any rumor I expected, they expected maybe. It's a same day as you don't have to talk. Alright? Feeding mothers, you could put a post. Don't take that for every year. But for this year, you could take it. Remember, that's what it is. Thank you very much.
Can I announce the share? The rabbit can share?
Yes.
Okay. The rabbit can have been gracious to committed to have a share, an hour share. It's planned for August 20th, that's a Tuesday evening, at 8 o'clock, at the home of Mrs. Madrow.
Mr.
Ernest.
Mr.
Ernest. I understand. And the name, the title of the share is?
Shalatho?
Question mark. So I was wondering if the women could, if maybe three women could offer to bring refreshments, either fruit or maybe cake or cookies. August 20th in the chat. I have one, but the same class you can get through to.
What was the date?
August 20th. Tuesday. At 8 o'clock. And the rabbi, I think, will also be addressing us. Okay. Well, we're hoping the rabbi will also address us. Is there anybody else that can possibly make?
I think it's
pretty
open and
then
it's just
as good as... Well, the sister is kind of... Is that the wrong? That's the same thing. Well, that's beautiful. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Okay, we have three people. As you heard, the show is going to be suspended, but it's not suspended. The Rantai Shem experience going next. The reason being that Rosh Hashanah next week, after Shabbat, we are expecting a two of our sons, one from South Africa and one from Israel. We hope the one from South Africa will bring his second daughter. Most of the book is a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth, the one from Israel, we are hoping is in his wife.
Oh.
And Judith and her children will be there. And every other time that our families have been here, my husband's been on full time shift, they've never had time to speak to them or to be with them because the phone has gotten stuck and everything goes on as normal. And our son from South Africa could. It's not for the camp, and this I can promise him that he will be able to have spend time with his father, which he never got the chance to do. So I said, well, I said that it's coming myself to promise you that, but I think it's only fair that he could come all this way with that to have that I'm asking you all for your consideration and your help not to phone us unnecessary. I hate to say it, but some families are very unnecessary. In fact, when somebody says to me, can I speak to you, Rob, and I say, I'm sorry to somebody with them, or whatever, he's not there. And the person says, oh, doesn't matter, I'll see him tonight, and I'll speak to him tonight. To me, that is an unnecessary thought, because he's going to see him tonight anyhow, so why thought? Anyhow, we can't say that. But I'm just asking, and if you could please make it known, out of the husbands or whatever, that we would appreciate it very, very greatly. It's from Tuesday of next week to the following Tuesday. We just pretend that we're not there. The phone will be available from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every morning, so those of you who need to respond. Also, if there is an emergency or something of great importance, if I could ask you to third Seema. Seema's really been kindly offered to take the messages and either put a note on our door or something, just that for that one week they really do manage to have a little bit of free time to be with our children. We would appreciate it very much. I'm not sure.